This is Radio 4. Tonight and on Monday night, Diana Quick stars in The Green Hill, two linked plays by John Fletcher. This evening we present Kim Wall as Lavernios and Diana Quick as Boudica in The Druid.
In 1984, the perfectly preserved body of a man was found in a peat bog in Cheshire. He'd received blows to the head, had been strangled, and drowned. The press dubbed him Pete Marsh. Archaeologists now believe he lived at the time of the Roman invasion of Britain, that he was a druid and the willing victim of ritual sacrifice. This is his story. The year is AD 60.
I stand at the end of the world, where the sea pushes far inland, winding in long, thin fingers amid hills and mountains before finally yielding to land. Where the land slowly breaks down into smaller and smaller islands, stumbling out to sea till there are only waves and conflict. I stand on the northernmost tip of all these British isles, on a tiny rise of green before a dark, fiery ocean. Around me, my friends, relatives, and the burial mounds and standing stones of our ancestors. The shortest day of the year. The new sun about to rise. We make solemn prayers, libations. The horizon is curling, writhing in the yellows, scarlets, vermilions of birth. Somewhere beyond that ocean, beyond the edge of the earth, with the great gods Teutates, Asus, and Taranis in attendance, she steps into her fiery chariot, steeds steaming, stamping, radiant in gold armor, red hair flaming from her head. She gathers her reins to ride forth in majesty once more across the great archway of heaven. Our goddess, the sun. Suddenly.
What is it?
What's happening?
The earth, like some vast ancient serpent, is winding, curling beneath us.
Help me! Help me! I'm falling!
Shaking and tearing itself, so graves, burial mounds all about start to split, rip apart, and the bones, corpses of our ancestors, come grinning, dancing, vomiting to the surface. And then, as quickly, is gone. Surrounded by the bones of the dead, we cling to each other. Look up. Instead of our old lion-maned son reborn, a grey half-creature slides across the sky, hides among the clouds.
What is happening?
Over here. Come on. Hiding there, Suetonius.
hates you.
Execution is meant to be a sacred act. A delicate gift to the gods.
Yes!
A commanding officer is not meant to become personally involved in acts of mass terror and punishment.
I enjoy it.
Of course, Latonius.
Each one of these Moorish bastards murdered men, women, children. Roman men, women, children. Didn't you, you little savage? You rebelled against your emperor.
The emperor.
Listen, Gaius Aurelius, I don't sacrifice these scum as gifts to the gods, spreading them on some altar while intoning hymns to Apollo, patron of arts, music and little boys. I butcher them with my bare hands. As a sacrifice to the great god, the one and only god, Nero, emperor of Rome. All right, lads, he's ready. Haul him up. There you go.
How many more to crucify, Suetonius?
5,000, I calculate, before the province of Mauritania can again be described as civilized.
I hurry down the rocky spine of Britain, living off herbs, berries, eggs. The eagle does not tear the wind with gulps of his wing. The wolf has lost the yellow wickedness in his eye as he devours the lamb. The trout does not flash and run beneath frozen ice. On a bleak, cloud-driven moor, I come across two warriors fighting.
Go on, then! Slice his leg off! Split him off his nose!
What do you think I'm trying to do, you wazzick?
Two bulls of men, naked, hair standing on end in great crests of red, green, and blue, teeth bent, protruding like boar's tusks, blue tattooed skin steaming as swords gouge back and forth, silver ringed spears hiss through the air. As a priest, I must prevent all violence. I step between. In proper times, I would duck steel, skip blades, till these two hulks had sweated enough blood and lard out of each other to heed my pleas. But today...
You've stopped fighting.
We've got a problem, priest.
We've all got problems.
Where is our hunger? Our lust?
Where's our husband's courage at night?
In proper times, we two would fight like lovers. Passion blazing, frenzies of blood, sweat, hacked limbs humming through the air, happy as bumblebees in spring. At the end, he'd take me at home, stick it in his shrine. Or I'd take his, it won't matter which, each would be with the other through all eternity. But today...
Today?
Where's the warm milk from our cow's bellies? Yeah. The hare dancing on the moor.
Why's meat lost its taste?
You're a priest.
You're a druid.
You tell us.
Night time. A great fire on the hillside. Sparks shooting up and up to cold stars. As a druid, normally I'd improvise a poem of 2,000-3,000 lines. All the traditional heroes, villains. But tonight...
Jesus, great God of binding and complexity, who understands all the confusions and contradictions of life, and from them weaves pattern, strength, majesty. Help, help me now.
But instead, a darkness seems to douse the fire, splatter out the sparks.
Where's the line?
As one by one, the stars go out, and down beneath we sense this abyss opening. This maw and mouth of darkness. My audience run off. I'm alone. All alone in darkness.
Where are you, you gods? Where are you?
The Emperor's done what?
Made you Imperial Governor of Britain. I'm to be your second in command.
Those scraggly little islands off the end of the world. I was promised a triumph through the streets of Rome.
People cheering. Speeches in the Senate. The Emperor himself embracing you.
Do not mock. Such things are very important.
Personally, I welcome it. I've always found the Celts the most attractive people.
You doubtless speak the language.
I do. As I was growing up, I had a red-haired Celtic lad as my slave. Thin white limbs, delicate as porcelain, red freckles sprinkled over his neck, his back, his tiny buttocks.
You disgust me.
Why, Suetonius? The Spartans went into battle, flowers in their hair, holding their boyfriend's hands, the best soldiers the world has ever known. Alexander the Great, loved men.
You and your Greeks. Why does the Emperor always yoke the two of us together?
Because he has a sense of humour. I'm an aristocrat. I die tomorrow to restore the Republic, proper democracy. You are a plebeian.
I'm proud of it.
You see nothing but pure ambition. One day you dream of being...
Do not say that, Gaius. I am the Emperor's loyalist subject.
You are to be the Emperor's loyalist subject in Britain, Suetonius. Far away, Britain.
Military glory shall get me to Rome.
I pass down off the desolate moors into the middle lands, the bowels of the country, where fat rivers, Trent, Thames, Severn, flow serpentine amid great dark forests. A little sound of whitethroat, thrush, cuckoo. Instead of the usual frenzy of celandine, rose, foxglove, each scrambling for golden light, now upon the forest floor, dankness, stench. Few salmon in the rivers, only eels, moss, or fungi thrive. I hug a tree, nuzzle my forehead deep in its bark, dig in my fingernails, rub raw my naked lips and limbs. Some druids in rich robes stand in great oak groves to hear the whisper of the gods. Ah. Even dare enter the mighty circles of Stonehenge. Avery, built by the gods themselves, to speak as if to equals. I take any tree. Any tree has equal intercourse with sky, earth, and all the binding complexity, confusion in between. Hug it. Hug it deep so I can feel the roots in the earth of Teutates. The leaves above, sweeping the skies of Tyrannus. Finally feel the trunk, the cracks, crevices, the ivy-bound loops and limbs of Asus. Nothing. Not a thing. The whole tree dead as a corpse in water.
There, see? Albion. The Holy Isle. Guarded all around with white cliffs. What are you talking about?
The Hesperides. Beyond the ends of the earth.
A whole lot of savages dressed up in war paint, you mean?
These islands had knowledge. Wisdom. When Rome was a cowshed. The ancient Greeks.
The ancient Greeks.
Pythagoras himself came here to their great temples to learn mathematics, natural science, philosophy. Imagine Rome as it once was 1,000 years ago. A tiny city-state. Free speech. Free people. Elected consuls performing sacred rites on hastily erected altars before every battle with the neighboring tribe. Then, every citizen. Those normally haggling with each other in the marketplace. All together. All purified of their sins. Charging shoulder to shoulder. Fighting, killing, routing the foe. These islands are as we once were when our blood ran pure and straight.
Yes, Gaius. Now, how many legions do we have to deal with all these little boys running around with red freckles on their bottoms?
Enough, Suetonius. Enough.
I trek and trek. Suddenly, the land is changing. Early morning sun breaks across water meadows, sunken willows, and then, as light touches golden kingcups, yellow loosestrife, lady's smock, through the mist, white breath flaring, neck and mane tossing, great flanks and loins digging and flowering, a white mare, a sacred white mare. Behind her herd of mares, foals, and young boys naked, red-haired, laughing, vaulting on and off their backs. Like a dream, they are gone, sweeping up a hillside to the downs beyond. But all about me, I sense the world changing. Birds singing, leaves flaming. I stand upon the last hills before the wash. And in the distance, see a great cloud of dust spiraling upward into infinity as the tribes, thousands upon thousands of people, gather about the person, the sacred being of our queen. She who brings the sunlight, Boudica. I pass among the crowds through wrestling men, racing horses, traders of silk and oil from the east, aristocrats peacocking, religious men chanting, and all about, hard-handed, harsh-voiced herdsmen whispering, mothers holding up babies to be blessed, and amid the stench of sweat and cow dung and sour beer, suddenly, through the dust, on the summit, I see stood on a rough platform, naked, pink skin and nipples, red hair glorious between her legs, spiraling up like flames from her head, our goddess, our queen, Boudica. Oh, indifferent. Magnificent as a lion, eagle eyes sweeping back and forth. For 1 second, they rest on me. Pass on. I sleep under a bush. At dawn, men come lead me down the hill to where Queen Boudica rests, fresh bathed beside a lake. We eat watercress, mushrooms fresh from the meadow.
You are Lavinius.
My queen.
I recognized you from your dress. Simple shift, short, stubbly hair, pockmarked face. You are not as other druids.
I live as my ancestors lived.
Then you know what is wrong with this country.
No one knows.
But you travel through it, endlessly, questioning, feeling.
priest has no other purpose.
A country is like a living body.
Oh, indeed.
Each rock and branch and a creature, a tiny part of one vast life, all knit together. Lavinius, this land is sick.
Yes, my queen.
It's not just earthquakes. The sun, scarcely appearing since New Year. Farmers talking of not planting their crops.
I know.
Sometimes I feel, am I fit to be queen? Do I any longer have the strength to bring fertility, good luck? I perform the sacred rituals and sacrifices, but do I have the purity, the truth, for intercourse with gods? This afternoon, over water, I shall perform the ceremony of devotion to the goddess. Watch me.
My queen, it is not you. Over all this land, the sun is shrunken, vanished, except here, where you are. Here it blazes in glory.
That afternoon, the queen holds her ceremony. Her altar on a barge, floating on a deep, dark lake. All about her on the banks, her subjects. The barge piled high with sacred gold and silver. Around her, her three young daughters, strong, naked as otters, kicking their feet. I watch her closely, performing her sacrifice. Knife across the calf's throat, slitting down to the belly so the soft, gentle guts and bowels come flopping out, plunges in her hands to retrieve the still beating heart and liver. Thus far, perfect.
Great, fearsome goddess. See my hands plunged into the raw, beating chaos of life. Now, in my blood and urine-stained hands, I lift a great golden plate out of the mire and compromise of earth and water, up into the purity, the simplicity of air and fire. Then, since all things come from and return to darkness, I cast this great, precious disc into the deep.
Each inflection, gesture, immaculate. And then, raising her hands as though she gently feels about the chin, the lips, the soft lower face of the goddess, for one second, as if she doubts, she hesitates. But within a moment, she is continuing precise, flawless, piling plates into the lake, breaking swords over her knee. But there is a darkness within. A darkness. Down there. In that deep lake.
Lavinius is gone. He dived in. Find him.
Swim down and down, above me the shadow of the barge, through the green sunlight, the legs of Boudicca's daughters striking the water. I'm going deeper. Around me, a silver, golden shower, the sacred plates that Boudicca sacrificed, falling, spiraling down into the darkness, a whole highway blinking away into infinity. I follow, and deeper, deeper, amid weeds, evils, where monsters... Oh! Suddenly, all around me, gold hair, gold limbs pulling against me, pulling me up to the distant light.
Lavinius! Lavinius! There, Mother. I told you he'd live.
Oh, the darkness. The darkness down there.
Lovenius.
My queen.
Lovenius, I have a task for you. You have been down into the darkness.
Yes.
Now I want you to go down into the darkness of this country. The southeastern part that has already been swallowed by Rome. It's people preferring servitude to freedom, prosperity to truth. All around me here in the Middle Land, I have warriors and aristocrats dreaming of Rome. Merchants itching after fat profits, urging me to succumb to the empire. Go there, to these cities. Colchester, London. Find out what happens in the deepest souls of people who love such bondage.
Queen Boudicca!
Pass among them, as a spy, an observer.
My queen!
I trust you, Lovenius. Here is some gold. They use it for trade there. Find out.
Britta. Just like any other province. Look. Over there. One of your sacred Britons.
Not quite as I'd imagined. 6 foot. Leant indolently against a wall. Magnificent red hair. Clothes of violent green and blue. That arrogant, straight-backed posture. But there's something dowdy, run down about him. Peacock without a sheen. And he does not look me in the eye.
The long road south. Grey. Crooked. And down it I walk.
Where are you going?
South.
Mind if we join you?
Just the two of us.
No.
Why are you going south?
I never tell my story to strangers.
Oh, you've got a story then?
No more than you or any man.
Going to see the Romans, are you?
One hears extraordinary stories.
They're more than stories.
Yes?
We've been to that place, east of London.
Colchester. But all the roads are straight. All the buildings are straight. All the drains are straight.
Why are you going south?
I hear there's wealth down there. Incredible gold and luxuries to be won.
Another one. It's filled with your type, the southeast.
Milling about, looking for the golden opportunity.
Mugs.
Mugs?
Clueless.
Ah.
Want a bit of advice?
Please.
What they're really hot on down there is security. Information.
That's what we went into.
I want to know what's going on, the Romans. You got any information?
No.
If you had, we'd have told this bloke. He'd have given us money.
I've got this really good place lined up in Colchester, one of her me money. All these lines of houses. You live in one with your wife. On one side, you got the pub. The other, the brothel. Live there the rest of me life.
Walk south. What do I see? Grey skies, grey landscape. And in the grey fields, neatly divided into squares and rectangles, peasants ploughing in lines. Not peasants as I know them. They do not look you in the eye. The wagon drivers, the herdsmen, merchants hurry past. None look you in the eye. A diagonal crossroads, diagonal crosses, bodies decaying on them. Where are the gods? Where are the gods?
Gaius, I'd like you to meet the Imperial Fiscator, Decianus.
Decianus?
Gaius, Decianus is in London on specific orders from the god Nero.
Gold. The Emperor needs great quantities of gold.
I see.
The Celts are strange about it. To them it isn't riches, wealth, With them, it's religious, sacred.
Barbarians.
They've got extraordinary amounts. Mine it in the Wicklow Mountains in Ireland, transported across the sea to Anglesey.
Headquarters of most of the tribes rebelling against ours.
The gold is carried down a sacred highway along the North Wales coast and out over the Midland Plain, past ancient groves of oak trees, choirs of maidens in perpetual anthem, fenced circles where sacred white mares run, till finally it reaches its destination, the court of Queen Boudica on the east coast. She keeps much of it for herself, her religious observances, sends the rest to her friends in Germany and the wild lands beyond, where they treat it with the same superstitious awe.
So why are you here?
A crisis of imperial liquidity.
A god short of money?
Gaius.
I've got it all worked out. A two-pronged attack. You, Suetonius, and Gaius, march the 14th and 20th legions north, using their sacred way as a military road. Hit Anglesey. That way, you get their military and religious headquarters. You, however, are merely a diversion.
Yes.
Decianus, meanwhile, marches east.
Right.
To the land of marsh and fens, where he hopes to surprise Queen Boudica and her gold.
Exactly.
You're not a soldier, are you, Decianus?
No. But I am the Fiscator Imperial, fresh from Rome, and a 3-hour interview with the Emperor, when his face was as close to mine as mine is to yours.
London. Grey. But everywhere I go, suddenly, violently lit by the gold in my pocket. I keep it very close. 1,000 nationalities, dealers, traders, merchants, buying and selling corn, fur, wine, oil, silk, cattle, slaves. The closer to the center, the more the noise increases. Limbs move in animation. Finally, I come upon a great open space beneath wide pillars. People walking up and down in frenzy, jerking, spitting, stabbing fingers, slapping palms.
Give me 7, you can have none. Make that 2 for 9, and I'll join...
5 for 9! Come on, you can't get
further! What have you got to sell, man?
Me?
You're on the floor.
Well,
we're buying. This guy's only offering us 5 for 9.
That's your limit.
What are you offering us?
What are you dealing in?
Gold, of course.
Gold?
2 for 9 I'm looking for.
15 for 18, man. You're more than double. It's 5 for 9.
I step back from the floor. A wine cellar comes up. I take a drink. Then another. That gold in my pocket is starting to burn. I take another drink. There is a thirst in me for... Before I realize, I'm on the floor.
11 for 9. That's what I'll give you, 11 for 9.
What's the catch?
11 for 9.
It's your bloody game.
I'll give you 11 for 9.
All right, I'll give you 23 for 18. How about that?
I'll take that. Then I'm going down to 47 for 19.
It's going up.
It is a wheel. A great, gaudy, golden wheel of fortune spinning round and round. I win gold in great handfuls, lose it as soon, win it again. What is it, this light, this darkness?
There's 17!
A young tribal girl, plain coloured hair, doing business on the streets.
Do all you want, but just 15 sesterces. Come on!
She takes me down the back alley, in through a back door. A cavernous chamber. And in its dark green light, as though fathoms deep beneath the ocean, labels away the pale white flesh of children. Some of them 10, but others 8, 6, working away,
back and forth, up and down, servicing their clients as if they had been in this hell for all eternity. Here. Take it. Take it.
What are you doing? You, what do you want me to do?
I pay her a lot. Stumble out. But other youths are waiting.
Give us your money. We'll cut your throat, rich bastard. You pot spoon.
They turn on me. Young men like wolves. Rub me, beat me, roll me, bleeding into a deep, dark sewer. Running down swift. And wallowing, gasping, amid excrement and rubbish. Into the great, dark waters of Mother Thames. She who was once gentle, all cradling, filled with life. But now, black, uncaring, pushing me along in the darkness. And then, from below, begin to come the sounds, the saliva, the stink, the great yellow jaws working. And I realize what is happening to me, to all the world. She is here. The great black sow who comes at the end of time and consumes all creation, all seas, all stars in the sky, till finally there is only her. Her all-powerful, omnipresent blackness. And then she consumes herself. I must get north. I must warn them. The end of the world is coming.
What's that?
Oh, you've done off smell.
All these soldiers, where they march?
Up north. To punish the rebellious Britons, I hear. And get their hands on all that gold.
I march. I march again in a legion. Rank on rank of men, rippling before me. Like some great, stately ship, we advance across the landscape.
I wonder how Decianus is faring with the Queen.
What do you want? My people have never threatened or attacked you.
I would have thought it obvious. Gold.
Gold.
All the gold you endlessly juggle with, then toss in the lake. Where is it?
We don't have any. 3 weeks ago, I gave all to the gods. What is going on out there?
Military high spirits.
My daughters. You rape my daughters.
Not personally.
My daughters are sacred. Their beauty is for the eyes and enjoyment of the gods alone.
Not with half my legion on top of them. Now, where is the gold?
There is none.
Whip her.
You made me scream. I tell you this, Roman, never again shall I scream. Whip me till I die.
Carry on.
This is divine flesh you profane. I am a queen. The fire at the center of the universe. Each time you rake your whip across my back, you drag this universe a little further from its axis. Each time nails and thorns rip my flesh, tender sweet earth sours, corrupts, falls away from beauty. As my blood runs down and gathers in pools, so this world shall fester in poison.
Where is that gold?
There is no gold.
I follow the Romans north. They're heading for Anglesey. Seat of all learning in the islands of Britain. I must warn my people.
The roads are cut off by cavalry, so I take a small courier along the coast, arrive at the Menai Straits just as the invasion starts.
Drawn up on the opposite shore, I see them. Great, tall warriors in all their glory. A rainbow of mauves and greens and scarlets. Hair waving back and forth. Tattooed bodies, red and blue.
Look at them. Savages. Dressed for the pantomime. I don't think the legionaries are quite so dismissive.
What do you mean? We'll soon deal with them. Go straight over. The cavalry can swim beside their horses. The infantry cross in their flat-bottomed barges.
Forward the seven! Forward the seven! Advance!
The soldiers make a start down the beach, but without enthusiasm. Then, suddenly, from a quarter, a sheer wall of ravenous sound engulfs us. Blood-curdling curses, shrieks, and brandishing torches, women and druids raising hands to heaven and screaming down awful vengeance. The legions halt. Even Suetonius pauses. I listen. For 1 second, I listen, and the glorious, mad keening, the wild northern skies it evokes, remote rivers flowing into frozen oceans, falcons flying before the winter storm, it enters my soul, transfigures it into battle madness. I seize the battle standard and charge! True religion. The rest follow me into the water.
A wind keeps my courier out to sea. I cannot land. But the Romans rise from the waves. In perfect wedge formation, burst into the massed ranks of Celts, disappear. For a while, grim combat, all locked together, staggering violently back and forth. And then suddenly, out of its midst, runs a woman screaming, black dress and wild hair set alight by her own torch. Then others, flaming human torches, and the Romans have broken our forces. They're through.
Let us rest.
No, this is where we start.
What do you mean? We defeated them in honorable battle. That's an end of it.
No. Their druids sacrifice human beings on altars, build great wicker men on hillsides, fill them with people, set light to them.
You crucify whole provinces.
For reasons of state, not superstition. They get their princes to commit sexual congress with a white mare, then butcher them both and serve them up in a stew.
I'm sure the emperor gets up to no better in his private villa.
Don't you dare say that! You're a Roman soldier! You obey orders! We advance and put all to the sword!
The wind changes. I slip ashore on Anglesey. Once a land of rich cornfields, great oak groves, and learning. A giant has passed through it. All harmony, all beauty. Torn apart. In their place, chaos, knowing darkness. Oaks torn from their roots. Mothers from their children. Children from their wombs. Death. I must return south to my queen. The last sunlight on earth.
A letter just arrived from Decianus in the east.
What's it say?
Hail, fellow Romans.
Good fortune in your campaign. A blunt, honest chap.
I arrived at the camp of the barbarian Queen Boudica. After due interrogation, I was able to locate certain quantities of gold.
Doesn't sound much.
The 9th Legion and I then returned to Colchester. Unfortunately, seditious elements among the local tribes used our legal and just exactions to stir up trouble. I have to report to you that the Iceni and Trinovantis have risen in revolt. What? A large native army numbering some 150,000.
150,000?
And under the command of Queen Boudicca, descended on Colchester and destroyed it. The Ninth Legion has been annihilated.
What has that man been doing? That was our only military force in the south.
Surviving civilians and soldiers are making their way to London, likewise undefended. I have decided now is the time to return to Rome and present myself to the Emperor with the gold I have exacted. He's lost himself in the midst of the enemy, and now he's running away.
That's how you get promotion in Rome.
So, Gaius, ancient aristocrat, brave charger of the enemy, what do we do now?
Hurry south. 200,000 people in London are about to be butchered.
Jews, Syrians, money traders. No great loss.
Perhaps we use Decianus's cowardice as an excuse to withdraw. Leave these islands to their true inhabitants.
Oh, no, Gaius. I'm a man famed in Rome for dealing with barbarians. I do not get my triumph by withdrawing.
Suetonius.
We let your barbarian army descend on London. Feast, loot, murder themselves to a standstill. Then.
Then.
We act.
I hurry south. No sign of cultivation in the fields. On the hills above London, I find Boudicca. 150,000 madmen and women ravage London below.
Stop them.
I cannot.
You're their queen.
These people have lived under tyranny too long. They exact vengeance.
There are still two Roman legions in the north.
I know. At this precise moment, we should be marching north in perfect discipline, coldly destroying them. It is not possible. I sent you on a mission report.
There's an old saying. The gods exist as long as man remembers them. Man exists as long as he remembers the gods. Each needs the other. Gods are everywhere. They're on us like dogs on heat. Perpetually thrusting, rutting, and swiving.
And?
Where have they gone, Queen? I cannot find them. All those hallways and secret meeting places between their world and ours, where once we met them, conversed. They're gone. Vanished. But I have sensed her, Queen.
Her?
Snuffling. Rooting. She who comes at the end of time to consume all things.
The great black sow.
Yes. We live in the last days of our world.
I have something to say.
Queen?
I perform all the sacred rituals and sacrifices.
You have always done them exactly, immaculately.
Until now.
Queen?
I know they are the most important thing I do. The whole cant and poise of creation delicately balanced. And my prayers and sacrifices must brush, stir it, just so its spinning, turning, infinitely complex dance continue.
Yes?
When the Romans came, sold my people into slavery, raped my daughters, I felt vengeance correct.
Of course.
I summon the tribes, an immense gathering, raise my arms, ask Taranis to send his fury vaulting down through me, out into those around. I look up and up, Reach out now.
Nothing.
Thousands of people all about, demanding vengeance. The voice of the gods. What do? With shining eyes, false, cracked voice, I say the gods demand vengeance. Bloodshed.
My queen, you cannot do that. If a god does not speak, you must say so.
My kingdom in ruins, my daughters raped. Would you have done otherwise? You are silent.
Lavanius, I have something else to say.
To ask.
Queen.
I am commander of an army that must drive the Romans from this country. To do that, the soldiers must believe the gods are with them.
What are you saying?
On the march, before each battle, I will have sacrifices to perform, prophecies to make. You, a druid, known all across the country, must be at my side, helping me every step. As I lie and make up stories.
And no! Queen, it is against everything.
Please.
Queen! Queen!
Boy!
Queen! Terrible stories from the north. Terrible!
Awful rumors spread about what the Romans are doing.
The queen orders her troops to assemble.
Shouts, shrieks, boxes ears, so eventually, bleary-eyed, they stumble together. Start north. But our numbers are swollen with women, children, whole families riding on wagons laden with stolen fabrics, furniture, statues. Boudicca demands they should be sent home. But her army replies they are 150,000, the Romans a mere 10. Their families will watch the sport. Then, night. We start to see garish reflections off the clouds as huge fires burn out of control beyond the horizon, lighting the whole sky. We quicken on across the Midland Plain until we near the line of the Sacred Way, carrying gold from west to east across the country. Then we start to realize what the Romans are doing.
They're burning our shrines,
our sacred temples.
March on!
We'll slaughter their slaves!
All our greatest temples.
March!
The sacred grove at Vernamaten. Oaks 1,000 years old, great trunks and limbs stretching up to heaven, touching gods, holding beneath their boughs vast reservoirs of sacred silent air, now roaring. Ablaze, huge beams and boughs buckling, plunging down wood, screaming, splitting in the furnace. The solemn black temple of the goddess Anu, desecrated. Seers, druids, their throats cut. Further west, the great circus, where sacred white mares ran with their foals and young boys. Burnt to the ground. Horses, children, silent, slaughtered.
Come on, let's run them down now. Yeah. There can't be more than a day ahead of us. We'll cut them down like dogs.
Yeah. Hold together. They're deliberately trying to enrage us so we break apart.
I know.
Then slow your warriors down.
Their blood is hot.
And so, a rabble, swearing vengeance, we hurry north. The Romans withdrawing before us back towards the Trent Severn Gap.
What do you think of the setting?
A magnificent place for a massacre.
We draw them on, an incoherent, vengeance-seeking horde.
I see what you're doing.
Up and up the ever narrower neck of this valley. Till at last, pushing, struggling, sweating, they come face to face with us. Set upon this slope, dense woods behind us and on both sides. And even if they wish to stop, they can't because of the huge weights of their own ranks pressing behind them. Caught between our spears and the trampling horde behind.
Have you ever thought what you were doing?
Yes, many times. So each time I get better at it.
I'll tell you what fame is. The thing you lust and scheme and kill for. Fame is 15 minutes. 15 minutes on a stage in which you think everyone is staring at you. But they're not. Open-mouthed, they're all looking at their own reflections in you.
Who's interested in fame, you aristocratic ignoramus? What I, what all real connoisseurs are interested in is power. Twisting people this way and that. Manipulating. Corrupting. That is the true glory. What about you, Gaius?
My ancestors fought on the first battlefields of Rome. Beneath the first standards, the first eagles. One cannot be with the gods of Rome unless one fights alongside them.
There are no gods anymore. Only the one god.
There are. There still are gods. I will find them in this battle.
Come on, goddess. Come here. A meadow at dawn. A few feet from me, in grass heavy with dew, the delicate, sacred hair.
Ever-shifting, changing form, miraculously wavering in and out of being, sacred vessel, goddess, come.
On the horizon, the sun rises through her twitching whiskers.
How can I do it? How can my magic lure entwine your majesty? Come to me, please.
And she does. Lollops slowly over to me, accepts herself into my arms as naturally as earth re-enters a body in a grave. I return to the army. Sun higher in the sky. Golden, blinding shafts shoot down, twine and wind about the soft grey whiskers on the muzzles of two great stallions. Air cracking back and forth through their nostrils. Billowing white clouds of breath into huge white clouds in the blue sky as, like visions, drawing their mighty battle chariot, they smoke across the plain, effortless as two swans in flight. Boudicca at the reins, armor, wheels, emblems flashing gold and silver in the sun, and in a cloud of dust comes to a halt before our army, drawn up upon a plain.
My druid.
My queen.
You have the hair.
In this cloth.
As you can see, I managed to hold back the hottest heads in the army. Look at them. All drawn up in a great bow around the opening to this valley. Women and children set on their wagons to watch.
They must not charge up the valley, Queen. It gets narrower and narrower.
Oh, I know. Try telling them. Our only chance is if small disciplined units of our army, led by the chariots, go up the valley one by one. Try to wear the Romans down. It all depends on your hair.
Yes.
If she runs straight, true, they will see they need discipline, restraint. But if she runs...
amok, all in zigzags.
Put her down.
The goddess rests in my arms, looking up at me indifferently through heavy-lidded eyes. I lower her.
Which way will she go? Bring us good luck, goddess.
She lollops a few paces. Stops.
Go on, creature. Run straight. Straight.
Why isn't she moving?
Runs neither straight nor crooked. Sits there. Continue like this, and I won't have to interpret. Lie.
What are they doing?
Consulting their gods, like all true civilized people. They've placed a hare in front of them.
A hare? Boy!
Sir?
Bring my hounds!
Sir?
Time for some sport. Your Celts?
Yes.
A bit run down. Moth-eaten.
They've been on the road.
I look out for the last time over a free people. Fat. Thin. Arguing. Discussing. Little children. Sharpening knives. Grandmas rehearsing ancient curses. Their whole line bulging. Heaving with readiness. Then I see a man standing beside their queen. Small, insignificant, simple shift, short hair. Not as I imagined a great druid. Why does she choose him?
Sir!
Ah! My hounds.
Jaws drooping.
Slip their leashes.
Ears already pricked in their prey.
Run, Hades! Run, Spiker!
Like ghostly, deathly mist, two great hounds fall swift from the valley. But before even they strike the plain, she is up, ears pricked, running not from, but straight at them.
Look at that! Extraordinary!
She's running straight, straight!
Hare and dogs devour the distance between each other like hungry lovers till, only yards apart, both dogs shearing direct in upon her. She darts between their gaping jaws and they crash and cartwheel over each other. She licks paws. They're up after her. This time, she dodges, loops round and through and under and over them.
This is not good. Not good.
She dips and swerves, bares her teeth in mockery, drawing, deceiving. And all the time, our army grows louder, more emotional, at every dodge and twist, demanding battle.
Come on! Let's charge!
Lavernius, you must speak! Pronounce the omens! Tell them the goddess demands restraint!
Queen, the goddess demands conflict, battle.
Damn! Damn what she wants! Do as I say!
One last time I look out, desperate for a signal. Then I turn to speak. But it's too late. Already they are surging forward, and women and boys in with them, the whole last line charging towards a hated valley.
First time I've ever seen greyhounds coursed by a hare. Still, seems to have done the trick.
I look at our legionaries. Rank on rank of them, calmly chewing arrowroot, sharpening blades. Veterans of Parthia, Judea, Bactria, scarcely bothering to look at the charging enemy. So Eternius arises.
Legions, to attention! Two ranks, shield holders with their swords to the front, spear throwers to the back. Remember this, no counterattack! No counterattack till I give the order!
And to a man, in perfect, frightening symmetry, they obey.
Steady yourselves, men! Here they come!
Chaos already. Warriors on foot and horseback mixed together. Wagons overturning chariots. No one stopping. No one thinking. Only
lusting for vengeance and killing, scarce able to wield spear or sword as thousands press at our back, we hurl ourselves on the enemy. A wave, a great wave breaks across our field wall. But the wall stands firm.
Back 10 paces! Hold your ranks and back 10 paces! There, guys! Isn't there beauty in this?
Even more determined, they break again upon us. Can scarcely breathe, scarcely move, but with one final effort, all the thousands and thousands pushing behind us, like a tidal wave, we fall.
Hold them! Hold them!
The monstrous creature is held, just. We shudder, back and forth. Suetonius holds it until the final moment, and then...
Spearmen! First point! Aim back! Row!
Like a great black cloud of crows, spears fly across our shieldsmen and land in the tight-packed enemy. The front rows crumple. Certain as night, they step forward, pushing back the survivors as even more Britons pile forward behind them.
Spearmen! Second volley! Aim! Throw!
Again, he orders 5 paces forward. And as the thousands still pile in from behind, a great wall of sacrificial humanity builds up before the shield.
Third volley! Aim! Throw! This is the moment! Give us our mercy! Charge! Charge! What are you doing?
Taking off my armor. This excrement.
What are you talking about? We're Romans charging the enemy.
Never again do I wear this filth.
This is desertion. You're deserting on the field of battle.
I'll deal with you later, bloody aristocrat.
Charge!
Now the butchery starts. Like efficient grey beetles, the Romans scurry over the dead and butcher the living. All down the valley, then out into the plain beyond, where the survivors, witchless, brainless, run about.
Several miles from the slaughter, a tiny clearing in the forest. Boudicca and several of her chieftains. She is about to take poison.
I was queen of the Iceni, queen of the Britons. I failed my people in my leadership in battle. I therefore return to the elements from which I was made.
She drinks. Then lies upon the ground.
What is it like? What is it like? That other world of hunting, lovemaking, drinking, war. shall men and women be inside out. All the world inside us, perfectly ordered. Ourselves outside, great and fearsome and awful in our feelings, minds, spirits. I shall find out. At last I shall find out.
For one last time, her eye meets mine.
My druid.
My queen.
One last task.
Oh, queen.
Go down. Beneath the earth, beneath the waters, wherever the gods have hidden. Find them. Force them to come back to this land, to this beautiful land they have cruelly deserted.
How do we know they want to return? Perhaps they have other worlds. Hundreds of other worlds they prefer.
Bring them back.
Well, that is easy for you, a queen, to say. About to disport yourself through the endless groves and fields of heaven.
Have I chosen your nature, Lavernius?
Have I chosen it?
You are the quester, the deep one, already embarked upon your journey.
Along with most of mankind, through the depths, the caverns of hell.
And you would deny them their salvation. Would you deny your queen her last wish? Go, Lavernius. I charge you. Beneath the waters, beneath the earth, bring them back.
The passion in her eye spreads out and out like ripples in a woodland pool. And then they are nothing. She lies at the foot of a mighty copper beech. Its roots wind round and round her. I have an obligation.
I wander a gray, barren land. Farmers, thinking the end of the world come, have left their fields unsown. Weeds, livestock run wild. Crucifixions ranged along every lonely skyline. At a crossroads, I meet a small, slight man, undistinguished body, ugly face, partly balding. I saw him yesterday on the battlefield beside his queen.
You are a druid.
You are a Roman.
I was a Roman. I do not choose to be one anymore.
You wish to be nothing.
I wish to be nothing.
Going in any direction in particular?
No. And you?
Northwards. Vaguely northwards.
Mind if I accompany you?
I wish to understand Romans.
I wish to understand Celts.
Together, the two of us wander the land. Mainly we keep to the forests.
No man can imagine the empire's vastness. The infinity of skies it stretches beneath. All my life, I've marched down military roads. New horizons unrolling before me, but never have I reached its end. When Alexander reached the shores of the Caspian Sea, the Indian Ocean, he put up altars to thank the gods because he thought he'd reached the ends of the earth. But we know it is bigger. Our empire is bigger.
What controls it?
You want to know?
Yes.
I'll give you an example.
I am a Roman. I love Rome. I love Rome so much that all my life I've been away soldiering because I cannot bear to be there. One night, he is at the theatre.
The Emperor?
Him. A singer is being applauded. Enormous applause. He decides he is going to become the greatest singer on earth. Has the world's greatest opera coach in. Sings. For 1 second, the coach's eyebrows rise. His head is rolling across the floor while his feet still stand upon it. World's second greatest opera coach comes in. Lessons commence. Meanwhile, he has built the greatest theatre on earth. A Colosseum. Tiers of seats towering to heaven. He's written his own opera. Lasts 17 hours. Designed every costume, every piece of scenery. Come the great day. 5 in the morning. Stadium packed. People fighting to get in. Gates locked. Centurions posted outside. 6. All in place. He comes out. Applause. Mountainous applause. Lasts 3 hours. Eventually, throat's a little hoarse, hands a little sore, they decide it's enough. Dramatic silence. At the last second, he decides the chorus's dresses are too short or the legs are too long. Throws a fit, walks off. Dresses could be right at any moment, so audience not allowed out. Dresses take 2 days till he's satisfied. Meanwhile, no water or food allowed in, no one allowed out. It's July. People start to rave, wander about. Whole terraces groan in the midday sun. Only people allowed out are dead people. Some people feign death. I found out. Executed. On the third morning, dress problem finally solved, he's ready. Appears in full glory, vast scarlet dress, makeup, lipstick smeared all across his face. 100,000 crawlers, social climbers still manage a parched, semi-delirious quaver. He starts. The greatest singer on earth starts to sing. Sounds like a million crows, cats, bagpipes caught in simultaneous death and orgasm. A cry of spontaneous pain escapes the massed ranks of packed clacks. They foresee death. The sun rises. His voice rises on and on through the hazy afternoon. Raving men, foaming at the mouth, wander the stadium. Evening. The climax to his mighty opus. Amid screams and fading light, 100 elephants appear. He steps forward in full glory. Dido, tragic queen of Carthage, looking for his lover's funeral pyre. Sudden inspiration seizes him. He orders the Praetorian Guard to fire Rome on the 7 hills about the Colosseum. So, the flames of burning Rome, the cries of dying inhabitants mix all around him with the sound of his voice as it billows towards its climax. Finally, in the first light of dawn, charred remains all about him. He stands. Silent. Alone. The greatest opera singer the world has ever known.
Why did your legions attack us? Destroy our gold route, lay our country in ruins.
To pay for the rebuilding of Rome. On the surface, men like you, savages, are violent, aggressive. All your emotions painted on your faces, in your garish clothes, your speech bloodthirsty, your stance harsh, but underneath, and on the surface of civilization, all is reason, enlightenment, sweet sunshine. Underneath, it boils with hatred, resentment, jealousy. That is its appalling strength. Its raw energy and appetite for conquest. Physical, psychological, cultural. Its lack of the sacred. The living.
Gaius. I saw a goddess die. Her body in its last glory. Supple as green downland in a skylarked spring. The soft down over her limbs like golden corn in the evening sun. The ropes and twists of her red hair winding and eddying like some great, lazy, uncoiling river. I must follow her. Follow her down. I am tired, but I have mighty journeys, epic quests and battles ahead. I need your help.
What for?
I need a man of experience, tenderness, who understands beauty. So that when the gods come to my death, they will think it a thing of sufficient dignity to bring me below where I can start my endless, endless work.
You want me to kill you?
You're always talking about the sanctity of sacrifice.
But you are my friend. My only friend.
It is always your friend. The most beautiful you must give to the gods. That's what gives them pleasure.
A murky landscape of marshes, muddy swamps. Two geese honk disconsolately away. I prepare to kill him.
He approaches me. He carries a rock in his hand to strike me as Tyrannus the Thunderer would. A garrote already about my neck to pleasure Asus, the hanging god. The water before which I kneel to please Deutati.
Are you scared?
Not half as scared as you look.
Are you scared, I said?
Yes.
Will you come back?
In the future. In the long, distant future.
Will you miss me?
How can I miss you? You're part of me. We're all part of the same thing. Oh, who knows what it's all about? Not the gods. Probably not even the great god above all the other gods knows. And the great goddess considers it too uninteresting to find out. Get on with it.
I see his hand rise. The last gleam of light from a setting sun catches the gentle unshaven hair about his chin, his lips. And then lightning in my head. A splintering in my neck. And I am falling.
Deeper, deeper, deeper.
into the darkness. Tyrannus Jesus Deutatis. Be with me.
In The Druid by John Fletcher, Lavernios was Kim Wall and Boudica Diana Quick. Gaius was Peter Harlow, Suetonius Ian Redford, and Decianus Roger Hume. Other parts were played by Peter Meakin, Richard Avery, Jonathan Wyatt, Susan Jeffrey, Gillian Goodman, and David Holt. The music was composed and performed by Martin Alcock with Simon Nicol, and the play was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant. And you can hear the second part of The Green Hill on Monday night when Diana Quick stars in The Detective. The world of the Druid is turned upside down. It's 2025, and London, the great city founded by the Romans, is collapsing. An investigation into an extraordinary crime begins when two women detectives chase bank raiders down an alley by the Thames.
Hey, look out!
Plunge deep into a heap of rotting bins.
We're still alive.
Covered in shite, but still alive.
Typical day in the 21st century Met.
Help me, Ollie.
All right, stop me.
Hey, wait, look.
Under the piled rubbish, a child's tiny hand.
Oh, Jesus.
A tiny mite. A street Arab rent boy caught, tortured in a thousand connoisseur ways, thrown away like garbage in the garbage. Diana Quick stars as Gret and Adjoa Ando as Liz in the second part of The Green Hill in The Detective at 7:45 on Monday night here on Radio 4.